There's a side hustle that's exploding right now, and that's live selling on Whatnot. I've seen Whatnot climb to the top of the App Store. I've seen the seller earnings, everything from small part-time projects to multi-million dollar businesses. Whatnot is the largest dedicated live shopping platform. Whether you're selling beauty products, collectibles, electronics, thrift store finds, luxury fashion, even food products like cookies, sellers are building real, thriving businesses. So how about this? People selling on Whatnot sell 10 times more than on other major marketplaces. That's because you're not just listing products and hoping somebody finds them. You're building real connections with buyers. And those buyers, they're spending more than an hour a day in the app. They're not just browsing. They're bidding, they're buying, and they're coming back. You go live, show off your products in real time, and then turn what you love into real income. And for a limited time, Whatnot is matching your first $150 sold in the first month. Visit whatnot.com/sell to start selling. That's whatnot.com/sell. Whatnot.com/sell. 24 years of side hustle advice in 41-ish minutes, starting with your driving motivation. A lot of people approach side hustles from the standpoint of, well, I want to make extra money. But what you need to do is kind of put yourself in the shoes of that annoyingly curious five-year-old and ask why, and then ask why again. Well, why do you want to make extra money? Well, I need a little extra breathing room in my budget. You know, that would make life a little more comfortable. Well, why? What do you want to do? Well, I want to pay off some debt. I want to maybe go on this family trip. Well, why? You know, well, maybe eventually I want to be able to quit my job and be in more control of my calendar. Well, why? Well, I really value having autonomy over my time. And you start to drill down and you get more and more honest with yourself on why it's important to you. What do you really want and value? Because this is going to keep you going when times get tough in your side hustle. It's like, you see, it's hard. If it were easy, everybody would be doing it. And I think it's really important to know that driving motivation. Otherwise, it's too easy to throw in the towel. And when you find a side hustle idea that strikes your fancy, that is really inspiring, you got to understand that inspiration is temporary. So do everything you can to build some positive momentum as quickly as you can before that inspiration expires. Maybe that's registering that domain name. Maybe that is making an offer. Maybe that is putting a product up for sale. Whatever it is, like taking important action, because I think you'll find momentum breeds momentum and momentum breeds results, and results kind of is a virtuous cycle in that way. And so just recognize inspiration has an expiration date. And if you can take action before then, I think you're going to be quite a bit better off. And if you don't take action in time, also recognize, look, business ideas are like buses. This is the Richard Branson line. There's always another one coming along. So don't stress if you missed the boat on one, because there's always something else coming along. When it comes to coming up with business ideas in the first place, you got to ask yourself, well, what are you obsessed with? And the reason I bring this up is it's hard to compete with somebody who's obsessed. And I'll give the example of, you know, credit card points and miles. Like, I like playing this game. I like signing up for new credit card bonuses. Traveling for free is a fun little life hack. But if I were to compete in this space as a content creator, I'm never going to compete with the points guy, with all the hacks, the people who really live and breathe this stuff day in and day out. Now, where I can compete, what I have been obsessed with for the last decade plus is side hustle ideas, right? This was the same, kind of the same questions that I asked early on. Well, what do you never get tired of talking about? Well, I really love deconstructing these business ideas and finding and sharing creative ways to make extra money. Like, that really lights me up. I mean, it still does today the way it did 12, 13 years ago. There's a lot of advice around following your passion, but I would argue if you don't have something you're undyingly passionate about, and going back to the obsession thing, maybe you can follow your curiosity, because this is kind of what drives a lot of the content in my case as well. I'm curious, what would happen if we tested this? Or what would happen if we did this experiment? Like, one example, just recently, I published an episode that was generated by AI, and it was universally panned. The audience didn't love it. I thought it was super cool. I was excited by it. I found these side hustle case studies and stories, fed it into Notebook LM. It came back with this cool, like, 17-minute back and forth. It was an experiment. The crowd has spoken. It wasn't a winner. So back to the drawing board on that. But it was something I was curious to play around with. And so if you can follow your curiosity and kind of be testing different things. I read at one point that Amazon is testing at any given point, like 1,000 different variables on their website, trying to eke out another 0.01%, you know, conversion rate or something, because at their scale and volume, that would be a significant bump to the bottom line, every little micro percentage. I don't think you need to go to that extreme, but you can kind of run these little experiments, these tests in your day-to-day life. Well, what would happen if I did this? And it kind of gives yourself permission to take a swing and say, like, oh, if it doesn't work, it was just an experiment. And similarly, like, I had to shut down my Facebook content monetization experiment last month just because it was like, well, for the time that I'm putting into this, the results aren't what I would be hoping to get out. It's like, okay, hey, you gave it an honest try. You gave it the experiment. It didn't work. It was, you know, following that curiosity. If I ever come up with a kid's book, it would be, Mommy, where do business ideas come from? And the truth is that business ideas or money comes from solving problems, right? A business is just a repeatable system for solving a problem. So if you can put yourself in that mindset, like early on, I probably Googled, like a lot of us have, you know, ways to make money online. And what a lot of these listicles that you'll find, and I've written some of them myself, they kind of dance around the issue of, well, the real money comes from solving problems. And I kind of stumbled into that with my first side hustle, or my first online side hustle was this comparison shopping site for shoes, where, you know, it started for the noble purpose of, well, how do I make money online? But the end result was it was a helpful tool. It was a helpful website to help people find the best price on their next pair of shoes. And that's why it worked. So money comes from solving problems. Another thing we talk about quite a bit on the show is the idea of pain pills versus vitamins. And I think it is quite a bit easier to sell pain pills than it is to sell a vitamin. Because if you think you've got this splitting headache, you're going for the Excedrin, you're going for the Tylenol right away, versus, hey, if I forget to take my vitamin today, it's probably not the end of the world. Like, what's that expensive problem? What's that driving pain that you can take away for customers and solve that kind of problem? Early on, a friend of mine gave me this line. He called it the rule of the internet. He said, people are only ever online for one of two reasons. Number one, to solve a problem. Boom. I think that's easier to play in. And number two, to be entertained. And if you are very entertaining, you can still play in that space. But you're competing against Mr. Beast and ESPN and HBO and like all of this stuff, versus if you can solve a very specific problem for a very specific customer, I think it would be much easier to find an audience and start making money that way. One thing that comes up a lot is the idea of competition. Well, somebody else is already doing my idea. Somebody else already came up with this. Somebody did it first. And so Jonathan Mentanza from Choose FI gave me this line on the show. He said, if you can't be first, be different. In his case, he was talking about the financial independence movement, early retirement. He's like, look, there were already dozens of blogs talking about this, but there were very few podcasts. And so Choose FI kind of filled that podcast void for that early retirement community. And I'll add the corollary to that. If you can't be different, be better, right? This is how the internet overall improves in quality, hopefully over time, because, well, somebody else had the same idea, but I can do it better. I can kind of leapfrog what's already been created. And you see this in physical products all the time, where it's like, oh, this already exists. Shoot. But here are some little tweaks, little improvements, little iterations that we can make to that to improve it over time. And I've done the same thing with website articles. Oh, shoot. Somebody already wrote this idea. Now, you know, back to the drawing board. It's like, oh, wait, I can still add my own unique approach to this. I can be different and I can hopefully be better. So if you can't be first, be different. If you can't be different, be better. There's this proverb that talks about when it comes to chasing business ideas about this lion on the African savanna and says, well, it could either spend its time chasing antelopes or chasing mice. It's going to take the same amount of effort either way. One is going to feed him for a week. The other, he's going to still be hungry afterwards. And so I wanted you to think about this when you're evaluating different opportunities, different business ideas. Like, are you going after the antelope idea or are you going after the mouse idea? Like, even if you work, if you succeed, if you catch the thing, is that really going to be worth your time? So the question is, you know, what if this works? We spend a lot of time talking about how to minimize failure, you know, minimize risk. And I think all of that is important. But you also have to ask yourself, well, what if it works? And if it does, would that be a win for you? And the way to do that is to look at somebody who's done it before you, who's, you know, 3 or 5 years ahead of you, and say, well, what does their life look like day to day? Are they still putting in 80-hour work weeks, or do they have a little more freedom and flexibility? Is their income where you would want it to be? And kind of evaluate different side hustle options based on what if it works? What if the thing takes off, and is that going to be a win for me? The idea here is to make an asymmetric bet or several asymmetric bets, because the first thing that you try may not work, and that's okay. But if I minimize my downside risk and swing for the big enough antelope or the big enough upside, then that's going to erase all my losses and I'm still going to win. So look at those side hustles or those business ideas in terms of what has an asymmetric upside. And I think that's the side hustle mentality in general. There's this connotation of some entrepreneurial upside that separates it from, you know, taking a second job, bartending on the weekends, delivering pizzas, you know, driving for DoorDash, stuff like that, where, okay, there's a path here where I can go beyond hours for dollars if I do this right. One phrase that I have tried to remove from my vocabulary is, I don't have time, or I didn't have time. And what I've been trying to replace that with is the more brutally honest, I prioritized something else, because we vote our time with our priorities, and we're all dealt the same number of hours in the week, and your week might look different from mine, but there's some level of truth to that. We have to look in the mirror and say, well, what did I prioritize? Did I prioritize watching Netflix? Did I prioritize doom scrolling social media? Did I prioritize spending time with my kids? Like, nobody's going to fault you for that, but you need to be honest with you and stop saying, I don't have time. The time is there, but you got to figure out the priorities. And maybe the helpful framework that I've heard is to kind of think of the bookends of your days, first thing in the morning, last thing before bed, and try and carve out some level of consistency. Maybe it's 15 minutes, maybe it's half an hour, but doing it and being dedicated and deliberate about it, and try to move the ball forward on your own agenda, on your own proactive stuff, before reacting to other people's problems and putting out fires and dealing with the rest of life's responsibilities. The time is there if you dedicate to it, if you really make it a priority. More hard-won side hustle advice coming up right after this. When you're a small business, the right hire can be make or break. Hoping the right people see your job posting isn't the best growth strategy. When the pressure's on and you need the right hire, this is a job for sponsored jobs. Join the 3.3 million employers worldwide who use our sponsor Indeed to connect with quality talent that meets your specific criteria. Talking skills, experience, certifications, or location. How Indeed sponsored jobs work is they boost your job post in the search results so you can reach the best fit candidate to help your business thrive. Spend less time searching and more time actually interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less time, less stress, and more results. When you need the right person to cut through the chaos, this is a job for Indeed sponsored jobs. Side Hustle Show listeners get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? This is a job for Indeed sponsored jobs. Running a business is hard. If it were easy, everybody would be doing it, right? You've got a to-do list a mile long and you got a dozen different hats to wear. So here's a resource to help lighten your load. I'm excited to partner with Gusto for this episode because they've been one of the most recommended services by Side Hustle Show guests. Gusto is the easy, affordable online payroll, HR, and benefits tool for modern small businesses. In fact, they help over 400,000 businesses like yours take the pain out of tasks like payroll tax filing, direct deposit, health insurance administration, 401k benefits, onboarding tools, and lots more. Of course, I encourage you to do your own due diligence, check out their reviews online, and I think you'll find the common threads in the comments about how easy it is to use, their great customer support, and the great value. So here's the deal. To help you get started or to make the switch, Side Hustle Show listeners can try Gusto today at gusto.com/sidehustle, and you'll get 3 months free when you run your first payroll. That's 3 months of free payroll at gusto.com/sidehustle. One more time, that's gusto, G-U-S-T-O.com/sidehustle. Okay, let's say you've got your side hustle idea now, and it comes to kind of this validation stage or testing phase. And I want to share this phrase, bullets before cannonballs, which comes from the book Good to Great by Jim Collins. And he talks about these companies, when they have a new initiative, they have a new idea, they want to test it on a really low risk calibration stage. This is the firing bullets, like low cost. Okay, you can buy a box, you can get them by the dozen, right? And I'm going to kind of calibrate. Okay, boom, we hit. Now that we're lined up, that's when we're going all in. That's when we're going to fire the cannonball. In my case, this was, direct link text ads on Google, Google ads for a budget of $1 a day starting out. Those were my bullets before I felt comfortable investing in having this whole shoe shopping website built out. That was the cannonball. So what is it in your side hustle, in your business idea, where you can kind of find the low cost validation before going all in? For a lot of people, there's this hesitation to get going. Well, I don't know enough. They have this imposter syndrome and it never really goes away. The only cure for imposter syndrome is doing the work. So I want to propose this idea of just-in-time learning. This is not knowing everything that you could possibly ever need to know about the thing, but knowing just enough to take step one and figuring out step 2 through 10 as you go. In fact, there's a whole book on the shelf behind me from Pat Flynn called Lean Learning, which talks about this exact idea. You almost don't want to know what you don't know. And you just want to know just enough to do the thing. And then when the next, you're going to bump up against the ceiling of your ability or the bump up against the, next problem and hurdle. Okay, I'll figure it out then and have the confidence that you are able to figure it out. This is probably the most important skill for entrepreneurs is the skill of learning new skills, because it never really goes away. So this idea of practicing just-in-time learning has been really helpful for me. And the other important thing is that you've got to get started before you can get good. In Arnold Schwarzenegger's book, he talks about this idea of reps, reps, reps. And that one really hit home for me because I feel the same way with the Side Hustle Show, where it was, 50 episodes before I felt more comfortable behind the mic. It was reps, 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 putting in the work, being maybe a little bit cringe, and trying to improve your craft. The other thing that stood out to me in that book was, for weightlifters, for bodybuilders, failure is 100% normal. It is a daily occurrence. We have to train to the point of failure to build the muscle that we want. And that one hit home for me because it's like we kind of shy away from failure. But in certain fields, that's just a part of the game. It's like a ticket to entry in a way. And so looking at failure, not as a, I'm an abject failure, it's just, that little thing failed. And I know I'm going to be stronger because of it, because I'm going to take the lessons into the next thing. When my brother and I were kids and we'd be helping dad out with projects around the house, he would give us permission to help out and hammer in nails here and there. And he had this line, it's not a piano. And what he meant by that was it doesn't have to be perfectly aligned. If you bend a nail, if you give him a little dent in the wood, it's not the end of the world. And that stood out to me. It's not to say he didn't care about quality. He cared about doing a good job for sure. But it was the idea that perfection is the enemy of good enough. And I think back to that first shoe site and the idea of that first version of the site. I'll see if I can bring it up on the Wayback Machine. Not the greatest looking thing, right? It's kind of like, I'm a little bit embarrassed to show people when they ask about my side project. And it brings back this Reid Hoffman line of, if you're not embarrassed by the first version of your product, you launched too late. So keep that in mind. Perfection is the enemy of good enough. You can kind of improve as you go and you'll learn as you go. When it comes to marketing your product, one of the most common themes on the show is to go where the cash is already flowing. We've called this the buy buttons theory. Where are the platforms where you can put your buy button and make it easy for customers to do business with you? Comes for services, comes for products. And in terms of services, we've seen people kind of shortcut the marketing channels by going direct to these kind of strategic referral partners. So the marketing question you have to ask is, who are my target customers already doing business with? I think this was first introduced to me by Daniel DiPiazza years and years ago, where he had this tutoring business and he's working for this tutoring company making $18 an hour. Meanwhile, they're charging the customers like $100 an hour. So he's like, well, what if I put on this, you know, group class about, SAT prep or something? So he goes to these guidance counselors and hands out flyers and markets this class and, you know, fills up the seat, you know, 30 seats or something at his same, I forget what his rate was, but it exploded his hourly rate from $18 an hour to $1,000 an hour for that, you know, 3-hour session or whatever he was doing this test prep thing by kind of going direct to the source. So we can think of the lead fountains. Who are the steady stream of people my customers are already doing business with? How can I get in front of them in a helpful or complimentary way where it's like, we're not competitors, but we could help each other out. Another example was Carter Osborne. He had a college essay admissions consulting business, and his strategic partner, the one that kind of took off the business, was, you know, somebody who was a broader college admissions consultant person who just didn't like doing the essay work. So he became kind of almost a white label partner underneath her business. So that was really cool. My wife has done this in her photography business where it's just, the wedding venues where their brides, the brides being their target customers, but the wedding venues are kind of the strategic referral partners here. Well, what does it take to get on your preferred vendors list? Well, we need to see your portfolio and, you know, proof of insurance. In some cases, it was really that simple. So again, think of those buy buttons. Where, how can you get in front of your target customers? In the case of the Side Hustle Show, it was guesting on a lot of personal finance related podcasts where the common themes were saving and budgeting and frugal living. And it was fun for me to come on and be like, well, let's talk about the revenue side of the equation. You know, what, how can you increase the income? How can you, what are the creative ways you can do to make extra money? And that really resonated with that audience and helped me grow the show. Similarly, we talk a lot about filling demand versus creating demand. This is kind of the online business equivalent of skating where the puck is going versus trying to create demand from scratch. And so this is practicing good search engine optimization. This is kind of figure out, well, what are people looking for that I can help out with versus trying to like, well, I came up with this cool idea for this brand new thing that nobody knows exists. And I don't know. I mean, it's cool if you can do that. That's kind of the Steve Jobs and the Henry Fords of the world. But for side hustles in particular, probably easier to try and get in front of some demand that already exists. And that's why you hear so many guests reference, oh, I used this keyword research tool to find, oh, it had this search volume, it had this level of competitiveness, and that's what I was going to go create my product about, or that's what I was going to create my content about, my video, my article about, to fill that existing demand versus, you know, what I did for years and years in the early days of the site was like, I'm going to write the article that I want to write, paying zero attention to SEO and getting close to zero traffic as a result. So don't do what I did and try and get in front of that demand in a more strategic way. As you're building your business, there's this tendency to all of a sudden see all the different potential directions you could go, the shiny objects that are out there. And from my seat as the host of the Side Hustle Show, it's especially dangerous because that to me is the mark of a good episode when I hang up the call being like, well, dang, how come I don't have a billboard on the side of the highway, or why don't I have a vending machine route, or I could probably, you know, start that business. And if I'm saying that, I know it's going to be a hit, but it can be dangerous too. And so the advice for side hustlers is this idea of simplicity first, diversification second. Find one offer, one marketing channel, one target customer that's working before you go out and expand into channel number two, offer number two, et cetera. We had the advice from Brian Feraldi recently. It is better to be excellent at one platform, and in his case, he started with Twitter or X, than it is to be mediocre at 10 different platforms. There's a lot of pressure to, you know, quote unquote, be everywhere and cast a wide net. And with AI and content repurposing, like you can do it, but I don't know if you can do it well. And so his advice was like, look, master the first thing, get it working, get it spinning in your favor, and then go do that for a second platform, do that for a third platform. One thing that it took me a while to realize was, look, nobody else is going to do it for you. I would have items that would sit on my to-do list, soon after, you know, quitting my job and becoming a, you know, full-time entrepreneur. It would sit on my to-do list and it would be there week after week after week. And eventually it kind of hit me like, dude, no, it's on you to move this thing forward. Nobody else is going to do it for you. And that is both the, you know, appeal of entrepreneurship. I want to call my own shots. I want to be my own boss, but also the realization of now I got to call my own shots. Nobody else is going to come up with my priority list and I got to do it. If I want to make progress, it's going to be on me. And for some people, that can be a real challenge. I was at this conference early on, and this was for the shoe business, where the speaker gets up and he starts talking about outsourcing and delegation. And the punchline is really to work on your business instead of in it. So yes, nobody else is going to do it for you, but there's also probably stuff that you don't need to be doing yourself. And so if you can build the recipe, if you can build the repeatable process, somebody else could take that off your plate. And I'm super grateful for the Side Hustle Nation team members at this point. In fact, this spun off a whole separate business of mine. It's called Virtual Assistant Assistant, that ran for 9-ish years, like 2011 to 2020. And it was the idea, well, I needed help in the shoe business. And I had some curiosity and questions around, well, how do I hire somebody? I don't really want somebody coming over and working at my kitchen table. I've heard of these, you know, remote outsourced companies, but like, are they legit? Are they going to steal my ideas? Like, I had every question in the book. How does it work in terms of taxes? And so created this directory that was, kind of a fun ride to be on the up and, you know, on the growth curve of the outsourcing industry. But the main idea is, if you find yourself working in the weeds day after day, kind of in maintenance mode in the business, it's like trying to elevate yourself, trying to like take a moment to sharpen the saw instead of chopping down trees, to work on the business rather than just in it, to be the business owner and not just the business doer. And when it comes to selling your product or service, don't sell the product or service. You got to sell the transformation. That's what customers are really buying. How is it going to make them feel? How is it going to make them be a different person after the end of consuming your product or service? Like, how is it going to remove their pain or improve their life in some way? This comes from my friend Jock Hopkins from Piano in 21 Days, where he's like, the product is this piano course, learn how to play piano. But the transformation is, oh, in 3 weeks, you're telling me I can learn how to play my favorite songs on the piano and impress my friends at parties. And that sounds really cool. And because of that, he's able to command like $500 to $1,000 for this piano course. It's a really, really cool idea of selling the transformation and not the product. Maybe you've seen the example of like the old school Mario video game where the product is the mushroom, but the transformation is, oh, now all of a sudden I can jump higher. I'm twice as tall. I can break through bricks, right? It's like, what is the transformation that your product is really offering? Another marketing lesson that I want to share is that businesses often live in this difference, this spread between lifetime value and the cost to acquire a customer, LTV versus CAC. And as you spend more and more time in your business, you're going to get a better sense of, well, what is the lifetime value of my customer? Is this a one-off purchase? Is this a recurring service that they're going to buy month after month after month? In which case, we had a pooper scooper business on the show recently, where he said his lifetime value of a customer could be as high as $3,000, because it's a very sticky service. Like, as long as that dog is doing its business in the backyard and they get used to paying for your service, they're going to keep coming back week after week after week. And so if he could acquire customers for way less than $3,000, kind of the spread is where your profit lies. And you can kind of, if I can acquire a $3,000 customer for $100, I'm going to make that trade all day long through Meta ads, through Google ads, through referral relationship, whatever channel that you want to do. We've seen it in e-com as well, where it's like, okay, my product sells for $35. People on average buy a new thing every 6 months. And so the LTV is $100. So we go out and acquire customers for 20, we'll make that trade all day long. So this is kind of a call to get a better understanding of your unit economics and the numbers kind of that drive your business in terms of what's a customer really worth, not just in terms of revenue, but in terms of profit margin on that as well. The next idea that I want to present is, if there is a shortcut, it's mentorship. This is tapping into the knowledge of somebody else who has walked the path ahead of you, because you can absolutely learn everything that you need to do on your own, through trial and error, through consuming content, through figuring it out, right? I think that's a really important skill. But if there's a shortcut, it's mentorship. And we've seen this from so many guests where, oh, I invested in this person's course, or I bought into their program, and I accelerated my learning curve. That's what it is. It's an accelerated way to figure something out and get it done. And I was hesitant to do this for a long time. Being a very frugal person, it's like, I don't know, I could probably figure it out. And it's like, okay, once I realized, like, no, that you could save months off of your timeline by just following somebody else's recipe and tapping into their expertise. It's a much faster way to go if you have the means to get that done that way. And sometimes mentorship can even come for free. We had a guest on recently who cold LinkedIn messaged the CEO, founder of PetSmart. He had a pet product business. And a couple of weeks later, he gets this call out of the blue from a phone number he doesn't recognize. Like, hey, this is Jim from PetSmart. I got your note. And it was like, wow, some people really are willing to give back in that way. So I thought that was really cool. More hard-won side hustle advice coming up right after this. Spring is this natural reset point, and if you've been putting off dealing with some of the messier parts of your business, well, maybe now's the time to do a little spring cleaning. That's why today's episode is brought to you by Quo, spelled Q-U-O. This is the smarter way to upgrade and streamline your business communications. Quo is the number one rated business phone system on G2 with over 3,000 reviews, and it's built for how modern teams work. That's why more than 90,000 businesses already trust Quo for theirs. Quo works wherever you do, right from an app on your phone or computer, and it lets you keep your existing phone number. Plus, AI is built right in, not something you need to bolt on after the fact, with automatic call logging, summaries, and next steps, so nothing gets lost. It can even answer the phone and qualify leads for you when nobody can take the call. Let's make this the season where no opportunity and no customer slips away. Try Quo for free, plus get 20% off your first 6 months when you go to quo.com/sidehustle. That's Quo, quo.com/sidehustle. Quo, no missed calls, no missed customers. So last month, it was time to replace the air filter in the car, which is about the level of vehicle maintenance I'm qualified to do. So I Google up the part number, I find this random store that is selling it, and then to my absolute delight, I see that they're running on Shopify. How could I tell? That little purple Shop Pay button at checkout. It meant not having to create yet another new account. It meant not having to find my wallet. I am paid and checked out in just a couple clicks. You already know that our sponsor, Shopify, is the commerce platform behind millions of businesses around the world, including that car parts website and dozens of Side Hustle Show guests. And you probably already know about the built-in store templates and marketing tools that make it easy to get your store online and get found. But what you might not know is that Shopify can also help manage your inventory, ship products internationally, and even handle customer returns. On top of that, you've got access to their award-winning 24/7 customer support if you have any trouble. So let's see less carts go abandoned and more sales going with Shopify and their Shop Pay button. Sign up for your $1 per month trial today at shopify.com/sidehustle. That's shopify.com/sidehustle. One more time, it's shopify.com/sidehustle. One line that was given to me early on in the show, probably in its second year, was this idea that opportunities become visible once you're in motion. And at the time, I kind of dismissed it as, yeah, it's a little hippie woo-woo kind of stuff. But I've seen it come true over and over and over again. It's this idea that, you know, action breeds action, and action breeds, you know, conversations. You improve your network. And that idea, that conversation with somebody else, you know, sparks this next idea. Going back to the virtual assistant business, I was working on a completely unrelated side project in the wine space, which I had no business being in. I don't know anything about wine. I don't really drink wine. Don't really care anything about wine. But it was, you know, for whatever reason, that's what I was trying to build, this like wine, or I came across this wine club review site, and I looked up some of their affiliate programs, and it's like, oh, this site is probably making pretty money. It was making good money. It ranked well for, you know, such and such wine club keyword plus review or plus reviews. I was like, oh, that's really interesting. What could I pivot that to, right? We talked about rip, pivot, and jam. Rip, taking somebody else's business idea, pivoting to your own niche, your own expertise, like whatever you're curious or obsessed about. And then jam, go and do the work, right? Do the hustle. And in my case, it was like using the exact same, you know, WordPress theme as the wine club review site to build out the first version of the virtual assistant review site. And it was a clear pivot that ended up working out really well. So that is something that I was excited about. It was an opportunity that became visible once I was in motion. Had I never you know, built this silly looking wine site, never would have come across that opportunity. And it's true. It's come up over and over again from so many guests. The business that they start with is often not the business that they end up doing, but it's what got the ball rolling. We have a line in our house, my wife and I, where we say the weather in Turkey. And where it came from was we had this upcoming trip to Istanbul, and I'm looking ahead at the 10-day forecast, and I'm like, oh, shoot, it looks like it's going to rain while we're there. And she's like, whatever. It's like, we're not canceling the trip, right? It's the weather in Turkey, you know? It's a call to control the controllables, right? I could bring a rain jacket, but I'm probably not going to cancel this trip, right? There's a line where, you know, you can't stop the waves, but you can learn how to surf. It is a call to control the elements of your business that you have control over and doing your best to weather the storms that come your way, but recognizing that sometimes stuff just happens, right? And I have told the story before of, you know, literally my first day of self-employment after I gave my notice at work and turned in the keys to my company car. That's the day that Google decides to shut down my advertising account that the shoe business relied on. And it was like, okay, deep breath. You go through the 7 stages of anger and denial and, you know, ultimately acceptance and saying, well, what can I control here? Okay, I can control the landing pages. I can make some improvements based on what I think they might want to see. And ultimately, it was definitely a stressful summer and kind of an expensive one in redeveloping a lot of the site. But ultimately, they came back and said, okay, you know, we made an error. You know, you're good to go. The ad account is back on. So it was an example of, okay, their decision is somewhat outside of my control, but I can control the user experience on the site and hopefully get it back into their good graces and be able to run that business for several more years. The next idea I want to present is this one called sharpen your pencil. And this comes from my dad when he'd be helping me with homework as a kid. And he'd come over to the kitchen table and be like, look at this thing. Go sharpen your pencil. You can't do good work with a dull pencil. And it's like, come on, just help me out with this math problem, whatever. It doesn't matter. And he's like, no. The tools you work with matter. And this is kind of the call to get a little bit better every day. It is looking for that 1% improvement, that slight optimization, that better, smarter, faster way to get things done. My virtual assistant back in the day, we were, you know, writing out hundreds of text ads for these specific models of shoes. And she's like, whoa, have you heard of this little text expander app? I was like, no, what's that? She's like, oh, let me show you. It accelerates things. Oh, and by the way, you know, these campaigns are kind of slow to load because there's so many products in there. What if you kept 4 different tabs open? And, you know, now we can do this 4 times. It's like just these little micro improvements are the equivalent of sharpening the pencil in my case, and try and think of other examples when it comes to the podcast, like little workflow improvements. And right now building out kind of mini AI agents to do certain parts of the process for me. It's like even after 13 years of doing it, it's like there's still little performance improvements. There's still little ways to sharpen the pencil every day. And I think you'll find the same in your business. A lot of entrepreneurs have the tendency to reinvest almost everything back into their business. And you see this a lot in e-commerce because we have something that hits, well, I need more inventory. And now I've got all my capital tied up in inventory and growth, sometimes for years. And so the idea that I want to present is it's okay. Take some chips off the table. Nobody ever went broke taking a profit. And in my case, I'm trying to reinvest some of the earnings back into the business, of course, because it's probably the best ROI that you're ever going to see. If you can get something that's compounding 20, 30, 50% a year, like you'd be crazy not to feed that machine a little bit. But at the same time, like trying to take some chips off the table and invest that into, you know, dividend paying stocks, into real estate, into something where if I can get paid once, I want to make that dollar work for me over and over again. Sometimes it's going to be a very small percentage, but like socking a little bit of that away and trying to stack up some truly passive cash flow in that way. So that's my call to take some chips off the table when it makes sense. And for me, maybe the example was selling the virtual assistant site in 2020, which is like my time to work on it had kind of diminished. And it's like, okay, you know, I don't want to see it start to decline. So maybe it would be a good time to hand off the reins to the next owner, to the next buyer. One question that comes up quite a bit is, how do you know when it's time to throw in the towel on a side hustle? And the answer for me has historically been when you come to dread the work. The last thing that you need is a second job that you hate, that you really don't look forward to doing. And there's a fine line between kind of like pushing through the tough parts and, okay, not every day is going to be rainbows and unicorns. But if you start to see a pattern where you're like, this is not enjoyable, I'm not seeing the results that I want, you don't need this in your life, right? There's a, you know, business ideas are like buses. There's always another one coming. So I think it's totally fine. You know, there's quitters never win and winners never quit. It's like, winners quit all the time, right? If something is not serving you, it's totally okay to quit that or even put it on pause, put it on the back burner and try and figure out the next stage. So just want to put that out there as permission to not kind of work yourself, paint yourself into a corner where, you know, I'm trapped doing this thing where it's like, no, you're still in the driver's seat. And if it's not serving you, it's okay. Put a pause or to throw in the towel or to say, okay, I'm going to pivot and I'm going to try something else. One of my most important side hustle habits is this practice, kind of a nightly I done this exercise. What did I get done today? Did I do work that mattered? Give yourself permission to celebrate some wins and some progress along the way, because entrepreneurship can be a lonely road, right? And nobody else knows what you're going through. And so you kind of want to take stock of, okay, I checked this off my list. I got this off my list. This was important to me. I got this done. And being really intentional, both on that progress side, what did I do? And also for me, really important is to say, what am I going to do tomorrow? That way I know exactly what to do, because yesterday Nick told me so, in what order even, before I start reacting to somebody else's agenda. Like, what am I going to do proactively for me and my business before kind of going into reactive mode? So tracking your progress and then taking a moment for gratitude. This is all stuff that I have baked into my 3-question journal. It's, what did I get done today? What am I grateful for? And what are my top priorities for tomorrow? What am I going to do tomorrow to win the next day? And John Lee Dumas gave the line, you win tomorrow today. And it was kind of the same idea of doing a little bit of advanced planning, because the to-do list is never done, right? And that's kind of one of my struggles as an entrepreneur. There's always more ideas than there are hours in the day, but trying to be intentional. Okay, this is what I think I get done. These are my most important things to go ahead. So be intentional about celebrating your wins and making some progress. And finally, I think the goal is to find a side hustle where you can, I have a goal in mind, of course. I think it's important to, you know, set the GPS where you want to go, but then also appreciate the day-to-day journey. The journey really is the destination. You know, finding work that you enjoy. We've heard that the secret to happiness is meaningful work plus meaningful relationships plus a sense of progress, a journey toward mastery, like getting better at your craft. Like Joe Salcihi from Stacking Benjamins, he always gives me this line of, you know, I'm embarrassed by the work I did a year ago, and a year from now, I hope to be embarrassed by the work that I did today. But he's on that journey that every day I get to do work that I love. And yes, there's a destination in mind. This is what I want in terms of financial goals for my family, or, you know, an end goal for my customers. But along the way, I'm going to enjoy the moment. I'm going to take a moment to look around and appreciate that this is pretty cool that we get to do this kind of work. So really appreciate you tuning in. If you're finding value in the show, the greatest compliment is to share it with a friend. So fire off that text message. I'll let them know about it. Thanks so much for watching, and make sure to subscribe for more money-making ideas. Cheers.